Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Make sure you check out MTSU football tomorrow. They're taking on Delaware at 6:30. You can catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Speaking of college football, college game day coming to town. Vanderbilt taking on Missouri. Vanderbilt and the college football playoff very much on the table as we look ahead here. Huge win for the Doors against LSU. They are 6-1 with Missouri and Texas as the next two games. You got Auburn and Kentucky mixed in before Tennessee at the end of the year on the road. So some high-level games left to be played for Vanderbilt. Still a lot of work left to be done. But as we sit here today, Joe, the college football playoff very much on the table for the Doors. On the Tennessee side of things, you just had your second loss. You're 5-2. You've lost to Georgia in overtime and then Alabama on the road. So not a bad loss in there to this point. They also really don't have a great win yet. And there's opportunities for those coming up for Tennessee. You've got Oklahoma next week. You've got Vanderbilt at the end of the year. And obviously in the meantime, like, you can't lose to Kentucky. You got to go on the road in the swamp and win against Florida. So a lot of work left to be done on the Tennessee front as well. Vanderbilt is in a better position as we sit here today, obviously, to make the college football playoff than Tennessee is. But Joe, as you look at Vanderbilt, as you look at Tennessee, what do you make of the college football playoff, that conversation, and the chances that the game at the end of the year between the two may determine one, if not two, spots in the college football playoff?
Before I answer that, Robbie, did you know that it was Big Joe who was trolling us about game day yesterday?
No, I did not.
Oh, so we got you too. I was about to be really pissed at you. Yeah, that was Big Joe. That was Big Joe screaming at us about how we weren't making a big enough deal about game day. So he got you this time. Is this the first time he's gotten you?
Yeah, he didn't have a name on there. I didn't. It's just the number.
Yeah, but it's a number that, again,
I don't know Big Joe's number by heart.
I do. I have to. Okay. I mean, you guys have gotten me like a million times. So, yeah. Nice job, Big Joe. That was actually a subtle little, because it actually was believable that Vanderbilt fans are like, this is like the biggest news ever. But that's the thing, you know, it is big that game day is coming, but it's not the biggest news ever. The biggest news ever is that, you're in the top 10 and you have a chance to, you know, to do something remarkable. And, at this point, I guess I like Vanderbilt's chances a little bit better than Tennessee's chances, except that I still have a hard time. We just don't know what the teams will, you know, what their records will be, where they'll be. I still have a hard time conceiving of Vanderbilt winning in Knoxville this year. Obviously the dream scenario is that that's for all the marbles. That's for a spot. But, you know, right now Vanderbilt is in really strong position. I have to like him against Auburn and Kentucky at home. I like him against Missouri this week. I think I will not be shocked if Missouri wins this game. Missouri, you know, they got one of the best running backs in college football, and they have a quarterback that, frankly, Penn State fans are like, wow, wish we would have kept him and not Drew Aller. And who knows, James Franklin may still be the Penn State coach. That's easy to do. A guy goes somewhere else and looks good. But still, he's good. Bo Pribula is good. But I have to like Vanderbilt because of their offense. Their offense dictates games. Their offense dictated the game to an LSU defense that, yeah, Whit Weeks was out. They were a little banged up. Still, talent all over the field. Didn't matter. Vanderbilt is executing at such a high level. I mean, look, the way Texas is playing on offense, I mean, like, Vanderbilt could win out until Knoxville, and it would not be – I would not qualify as shocking at this point, which – it's shocking to say.
I was going to say, like, the best case scenario for Vanderbilt, I don't think is a, you know, a win and you're in at Tennessee. The best case scenario for Vanderbilt is that they win out, and the Tennessee game, in terms of you making the college football playoff, really doesn't matter all that much. Like, you get a chance to play spoiler for Tennessee, but you're in at that point. Like, even if you lose to Tennessee, the best case scenario, if you win out until then, if you're Vanderbilt, I mean, you're in at that point, which is amazing to think about, but I think it's very much on the table.
Can I just say that that would suck? I know for Vanderbilt fans, they're like, shut up, man. No, it would not. But, like, wouldn't it suck if, like, they don't have stakes in that game? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like.
Well, I mean, they would tell you that, yes, it would. I mean,
well,
yes.
Sure.
But, I mean, they will be.
Still a rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, they will be fired up to have a chance to, number one, put a stamp on an 11-1 season. And, by the way, if they're 11-1, they're probably going to Atlanta. So, there's that. I mean, there's that to play for as well.
Too.
Which you can't tell me that that wouldn't matter to a Vanderbilt fan, having never gone there before. So,
yes.
That's one thing. And then, like, regardless of if it's win or in or you're already in and you're playing spoiler for Tennessee, like the chance to knock your rival out of the college football playoff discussion while you're firmly in is they will be licking their chops at that.
Well, I guess the worst would be like, again, I understand Vanderbilt fans. The idea that this is the worst is stupid. I guess the worst would be like Vanderbilt's in and Tennessee has like lost to like Oklahoma and Florida. You know,
yeah, for our purposes, for sure,
or really one of them, or just one of them,
right?
And yeah, so it's like, so basically, they're already playing out the string, and Vanderbilt is like trying to not be hurt. Like you said, that would be probably going to Atlanta. I don't know the percentages, but we can probably figure this out. But I mean, I think the most likely scenario is that they are playing for a spot, right? Like if you go by who's going to be favored in what games, so Vanderbilt is going to be, you know, Stilley and I have a bet on this. He's off his rocker. They're not going to be favored at Texas.
No,
they're going to be favored in the three games at home.
Yeah.
So okay, so there you go. So they're 9-2. And Tennessee, I think Tennessee will be favored in all their games until the end. Don't you?
I think the Oklahoma game is going to be close, but they'll probably get the edge because they're at home. And I think it's going to be close at Florida from a, like, they'll probably be like a 2.5-point favorite going on the road to Florida.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is, okay, how does Florida look? You know, are they getting like a coach got fired bump? They
right.
do have talent. I mean, Lagway is talented. They have talent. So, but yeah, I would think that they would be slight favorites. So basically, then by the odds, the most likely scenario is 9-2 Vanderbilt. 9-2 Tennessee, winner gets a spot, loser's out.
Yep.
I mean, my gosh. It sounds amazing.
Well, yeah, like if Vanderbilt can win, like that's why this Saturday's game for Vanderbilt to me is crucial. Because look, it's nothing is ever guaranteed in the SEC. I can give you all the coach speak in the world about how any given Saturday. And look, it's not like it's impossible for an Auburn or a Kentucky to go to Vanderbilt and win the game. So I get all that. But I feel pretty good. Like, if you can get the Missouri game, if you're Vanderbilt, I feel pretty good about your chances to handle business against Auburn and Kentucky at home. Texas on the road, we'll see. Like, the one thing about Texas is they've got a really good defense. Texas's defense is really good. And I know that they may be bad enough offensively that it may not matter that their defense is really good. We'll see. But they have a very good defense. So I still think Texas is going to be favored at home against Vanderbilt. But, like, if it plays out that way, like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I'm not saying you would sign up for that right now because you want to get greedy and see if you can get to the SEC title game. But if you're 9-2 at worst heading into the Tennessee game, I mean, that's a pretty sweet spot to be in if you're Vanderbilt at that point. And I just feel like that's why Saturday's game is crucial. Like, if they win Saturday against Missouri, they are going to be set up very nicely to get into the college football playoff.
No question. You know, Texas.
LSU's defense is supposed to be pretty good, right? How does Texas's defense compare?
That's a good question.
I'd say it's pretty similar. I mean, I think Texas has got probably a little bit more talent on their defense. But it's close, yeah.
Because, I mean, they said LSU has a good defense. And
they do.
Well, I know it was a home game for Vandy, so that will make a difference. But they still put up 31.
Well, when Whit Weeks is a huge loss. Huge loss, and they didn't have him. I think when he is on the field, I think that LSU is a little bit better than Texas, but he wasn't on the field. You know, Texas has looked amazing. And really, even you go back to the opener, I know it's season opener, so like offensive lines are a mess and all that stuff. I mean, they did only lose 14-7 at Ohio State with just terrible offensive play, yeah. right? They also completely clamped down on Oklahoma, 23-6. Mateer not fully up, but still, that was very impressive. Now, they also went out to Florida and got smoked, and Florida went up and down the field on that. You know, so it's like I do feel like at home they'll be tough. I also feel like, you know, had they lost the game to Kentucky, I mean, they're done, you know? I mean, they have two losses right now, and they'd be done, and it would – I'd really like Vanderbilt's chances yeah. better. The only game they have before Vanderbilt visits is at Mississippi State Saturday.
Right.
Now, I'm not picking them to lose that game, but I think they're vulnerable enough, especially with Mississippi State, with the offense they run, can sometimes, you know, that can equalize a little bit, right? It can neutralize a great defense just because of the style of game. That's an interesting game. And if they lose that game, they are a death march team
yeah.
playing Vanderbilt the next week.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, Texas, to your point, they got gashed a little bit against Florida. Other than that, they've not given up 20 points in a game. Like, their right. defense is really good. But they also have Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Texas A&M left on their schedule. That's three top 10 teams that they got left on their schedule. So, like, the Vanderbilt game for them, regardless, so, I mean, I guess if Mississippi State beats them, then they're done anyway. But they're in a situation where they got to win. Like, they have to win the Vanderbilt game. So you got to factor that in, too. I just, to me, this Missouri game, if you get it, you're in such a good spot if you're Vanderbilt. On the Tennessee front, you know, I don't really know what they are right now. I know they have a good offense. Now, their offense has sputtered a little bit the last couple of weeks. It hasn't been perfect. And there have been some mistakes that they've made offensively, but they've got a good offense. We know that. Defensively, I have no idea what Tennessee is. Like, if you told me right now that John Mateer in a couple of weeks comes on the road to Neyland and Oklahoma puts up like 38 against that Tennessee defense, I would say, yeah, I mean, I could probably see it. I have no idea what to make of Tennessee's defense right now. And for them to get to the Vanderbilt game to have a legitimate shot to make the college football playoff, they're going to have to play a lot better defensively than they've played to this point this year.
Yeah, and look, there are some things in the back end that I think are obviously tough. You know, they also just played a team that how many teams have – I mean, is that the best passing personnel in the country? Simpson throwing to Williams and Bernard, not to mention their Cuevas, their tight end is a stud too. Is that the best passing personnel in the country? I would argue that it is. So, you said it earlier, Robbie. They did stop the run. There's no excuse for them to be run on anymore. There really isn't. They've got the guys to do it. So, you know, stop the run. Try to not let the ball go over your head. And I think they're okay. I think that they'll be okay. And of course, obviously, the dream scenario of getting, you know, your stud number one cornerback, then you really could have something. But I actually think that there was some progress against Alabama, and then there was some just reality of that passing offense is just tough for anybody.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the chances for Vanderbilt and Tennessee to get into the college football playoff? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to AEW presents Dynamite and Collision at the Pinnacle, coming up on Wednesday, November 26th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee and the college football playoff. Vanderbilt number 10 in the AP poll, in the top 10 for the first time since 1947. Tennessee at number 17. They've lost 2. And Joe, on that front, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season shakes out here, but there is, I think, a chance that a 3-loss team could get in this year. However, I think the 3-loss team is going to have, you know, a win or two that's pretty darn impressive there. And I just don't think Tennessee has that yet. You know, they've beaten Mississippi State. They've beaten Syracuse, who's not very good. They've beaten Arkansas, who's not very good. And the opportunity is in front of them for a win against Oklahoma and a win against Vanderbilt at the end of the year. So if you can get both of those, then obviously that conversation changes a little bit and you've got a decent shot of being in if you're Tennessee. But to me, like, Tennessee, looking at their schedule, I think they're going to have to win out. Like, I think 10-2 is going to have to be what it is if you're Tennessee. So can they do that? Like, can they run the table here, roll off 5 in a row to end the season, get to 10-2, and put yourself in a pretty decent spot to be in the college football playoff mix at that point? I mean, they do. I mean, the one thing, if you're Tennessee, I say they don't really have a great win yet. They do have two quote-unquote good losses, if that's a thing. Like, you lost to Georgia in overtime, and you lost to Alabama on the road. I mean, you're not going to get knocked too much from those two games. Although, as I said earlier, man, how much different would you be feeling if you're Tennessee right now if you just made a field goal in the Georgia game? Like, you'd be sitting pretty the rest of the year right now.
No, no doubt. And Ole Miss, like, I still like Ole Miss' chances to get in, but, boy, they had Georgia completely beat, too. So, Georgia is the cardiac kids. I mean, they're not a great team. Although Gunnar Stockton, by the way, the one thing we question about Georgia might be the best thing they have going for them. Like, Gunnar Stockton's on a heater, and the rest of their team looks kind of average. But,
well, and by the way, you bring that up. There's a massive game this weekend in the SEC. Ole Miss Oklahoma is massive. It's a huge game. And on the one hand, if you're Tennessee, you're like, well, Oklahoma win that game because you need Oklahoma's win at the end of the year. Like, if you get it, if you're Tennessee, to look as good as possible. On the other hand, you look at the rest of Oklahoma's schedule, and after the Ole Miss game, it's South Carolina, who not very good, Citadel, home against Florida, or excuse me, this is Ole Miss's schedule, home against Florida, and on the road at Mississippi State. So, like, if Ole Miss were to win this game, they're in a great spot to get in the playoff. Like, you're probably talking about 11-1 Ole Miss if they win this game at Oklahoma here. If they lose it, then you're probably talking about 10-2 Ole Miss. So you could have 10-2 Ole Miss, like 10-2 Oklahoma. Like, there's a whole lot of teams that could be crowded there at 10-2 at the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. I still think 10-2, like, you're going to be fine because of the carnage that's going to come. You never know. You know, someone texted me on my personal text line, you know, what's the max number of SEC teams that they would allow? So, just as a refresher, you know, the max number of teams a league could get in any year is 8, right? Yep. Because the Big 12, if the Big 12, ACC, Group of 5 all get 1, Notre Dame doesn't get in, let's say, you know, it's not going to happen this year because the Big 10 has multiple. Like, if the Big 10 got 1, you could get 8 teams. Now, in reality this year, could the Big 12 be a one big league? Yes. ACC? Yes. Could be. And right now I think they're trending toward 2, but they could be. Group of 5 gets its spot. Notre Dame could be left out. And then who's in for sure in the Big 10? Ohio State, Indiana, and I would say Oregon.
Yeah.
Right? Like, should be locks. If that's the case and the ACC doesn't get a second and Notre Dame doesn't get in, that still leaves 6 teams. You know, the SEC could get in. You know, I'm guessing it's going to be more like 5.
I would agree.
It could be 4, but 6 is actually on the table, which would be wild. And of course, people would be very angry about that. And then people would be like, "Well, see, you did the strength of blah 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 that Greg Sankey was crying about, and now it's all, you know, it's all geared to the SEC." But I just think that if you are 10-2, whatever it is, and you're in the SEC. I think that's a lock. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. You just don't know for sure how things will shake out. But I think that's got to be a lock.
By the way, I went through Ole Miss's schedule earlier. This is Oklahoma's schedule to end the year. Listen to this. Ole Miss at home, Tennessee on the road, Alabama on the road, Missouri at home, LSU at home. That's how Oklahoma ends here. Now, maybe LSU is a little less daunting than they appeared. And we'll find out about Missouri this weekend as they take on Vanderbilt. But that's pretty intense for Oklahoma to end the year there. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, and LSU.
And again, that's the thing. It's like and this is where the committee. This is why I want a committee, because this is where the committee has to still look at each team and say, look, the SEC is tough in general. There's a lot of good teams in general, but look at that schedule compared to this schedule. It's still different. I mean, mega leagues. Even if the league is tough top to bottom, you can still have a much tougher schedule for one team than another team has. So, like, if LSU gets out of that at 9-3, like that's the, where you have a 9-3 team in, right?
Yeah.
That's an example of like, okay, look at what they did. And again, 9-3, if they get to 9-3, that means they got some big wins to their name. And they already destroyed. I mean, again, the Texas win is losing luster, but I mean, that's a really fascinating, my God, that's brutal for Venables. Here's a scenario Ben brings up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. He says, could Vanderbilt be 10-1, lose to the Vols, and then lose the SEC championship and miss the playoff? And look, right or wrong, those championship games still count, man. Like, yes, you earned the extra game, but you did earn risk with the extra game. You can hate that, but it's another game of football you're playing. So to answer your question, Ben, yes. Now, I don't know that at 10-2, with two losses in the league, that they would get to Atlanta.
Probably wouldn't.
So, yeah, like really, like the best part about that scenario would be lose to the Vols, be 10-2, and go home and get ready for the playoffs.
Well, and I'll also say this. Like, it's not impossible for you to lose a conference championship game and be basically kicked out for it. But last year, that didn't happen. Like, last year, the conference championship games really did not hold much weight in terms of losing them with the committee. Now, it didn't play out. Like, if Georgia would have lost, that would have been interesting. Like, because that would have been three losses for Georgia. And would they have been punished for losing in the SEC title game and missed out on the playoff? Although, thinking back, Joe, you know, we looked at, you know, the projections before those games, and I still, like, there were people that projected a Texas win and people that projected a Georgia win. And even if had Texas won the SEC title game last year, most of the projections that I saw still had Georgia in the college football playoff.
Yeah. No, that would have been interesting. And obviously, even with what happened, that was the primary arguing point, right? Was SMU loses, do they get punished? You know,
right.
They didn't, but it was close, right? I mean, it's like the loss, it didn't cost them, but it's not like it didn't matter. It's not like it didn't count. It just, they still got in, but there was obviously a lot of screaming for Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina.
Well, let's head to our phone line.
Lost teams.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Nashville to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. My parents had tickets to the Rod Dalhauer years of Vanderbilt. I've seen bad football.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a very exciting time. I do think that Vanderbilt needs to split Texas and Tennessee to get to the playoff and win their home games. I don't think they can go 9-3. And maybe brand would hurt them in this case, like Vanderbilt. But I think they need to go 10-2. And I don't see an argument for anybody other than Pavia being the Heisman Trophy winner in that scenario, like an honest conversation.
Thank you, Jared. Well, I mean, there's going to be an argument. Like, Ty Simpson is playing the best football in America right now. But Ty Simpson's playing good. Mendoza's playing great. Like, if Indiana ends up undefeated, right, and Mendoza is the quarterback, it's like there's going to be an argument. But to Jared's point, Pavia, if it plays out that way and Vanderbilt is in the college football playoff, he's going to have a very strong argument. Because, I mean, I would assume that also involves really good play by him to help them get to that point. He's going to have a very strong argument at the end of the year if it plays out that way.
Yeah, and like what Russo said earlier, the story of Pavia is going to help him. I mean, right now in our poll, we got Mendoza with 56 points, Ty Simpson 36, and Pavia 28, and there's no one else close.
Yeah.
So, and also, by the way, on the brand, I don't know if I agree with that. I actually think that the Vanderbilt story, again, same idea with what Ralph was talking about with the Heisman. I mean, if there's, you know, you want them to just judge the teams. But if there is a little, they are humans, and I think that just like last year, when people saying Indiana shouldn't have been in, right? Their brand didn't hurt them. They have no football brand. They have the most losses in the history of college football. So, I kind of feel like the story. If it's a total tiebreaker and you're splitting hairs, I think the story probably helps those teams more than the brand hurts them.
Let's welcome in Tim on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Talking about Vanderbilt, you know, back during SEC media days, remember everybody laughed when Pavia said we were going to have a chance to get to the playoff?
Oh, yeah.
How many of those teams are laughing now, and how many of them don't want to play Vanderbilt?
I'd say a spare few. There's no doubt.
Now, our chances, and you look at this, and I'm looking through black and gold glasses, so you've got to understand, I think we should take care of business this week. I think we can beat Missouri. Texas at the beginning of the year was one that scared me. But I think, you know, Will Levis hadn't been in Nashville. I think Will Levis has been the quarterback for Texas this year. And I think that's why they only had 170-something yards offense last week. Okay, but that being said, I think we can go to Texas, and I think if we play like we play, I think we can beat Texas. Then you've got Auburn and Kentucky. We should handle. We could very easily roll to Knoxville at 10-1.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if we do, like I said, I'm a Vanderbilt fan. I don't like Tennessee, but I don't ever consider that game a lot. I mean, Tennessee always play better against us, and I would love to say, yeah, we can go up there and win, and maybe we can, but, you know, if we finish 10-2, I don't know how you keep us out.
Yep, thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate it. If Vanderbilt goes 10-2, they're getting in the playoff.
100%.
Yeah, they're getting in the playoff.
100%.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the discussion on Vanderbilt, Tennessee, plus some questions from Vanderbilt fans on the text line regarding Clark Lee that I want to get into as well. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Talking some college football. One texter, Joe, says, Vandy fans are saying, quote, we should take care of business, end quote. I never thought I'd see the day. It is a great time to be a Vanderbilt fan right now. They're looking good. We have had a couple of Vanderbilt fans today ask us, Joe. You know, we talked earlier in the show about the coach openings around college football, and there are going to be more coming. But you got Florida open. You got Penn State open. I think there's a decent shot Florida State could be open at the end of the year. And who knows what else? Like, you know, is Hugh Freeze going to get fired by Auburn? Certainly looks like he might. How many openings are there going to be at the end of the year? I don't know. But it looks like it's going to be way more active on the coach opening front than it was a year ago. So the natural question from some Vanderbilt fans has been, how worried should we be about somebody coming to take Clark Lee? Like, how much interest is Clark Lee going to get? And are there going to be jobs available where he would give legitimate consideration to leaving Vanderbilt? Now, I talked about this yesterday, Joe. I think because of the set of circumstances of Lee growing up here, he went to school there, he played there, now he's coaching there, and he's built it to this point. I don't think he's just going to take anything offered his way just because, let's say, Penn State called. Like, I don't think just because it's Penn State that Clark Lee's going to take the job. Maybe he would, but I think it's got to be a pretty special place and a pretty special set of circumstances and, frankly, pretty special set of financial circumstances to lure him away. Does that exist? How worried should Vanderbilt fans be about that this offseason, considering the jobs that we know are already open and those that may be open at the end of the year?
Well, I'll take it to, as we wait on Tony Vitello, and I do think that we're going to find that out today. And I'm leaning toward he's going to take the job, but we'll see. And there's nothing for sure about that. But you know, I do think there's something to the situation at Tennessee with, when it comes down to it, as important as baseball has become, as he has made it, still you're fighting for money, and you got multiple programs that you're fighting with money, and you get the 1 year, you get the 1 year free agency, all this stuff. So that he's going to, if he goes to the majors, to a great organization, like, I don't think anybody could blame him. I say that going into the Clark Lee question, because I think if Clark Lee feels like he's getting what he needs, and really, football coaches should in this day and age. I think Indiana has said it. Their AD Scott Dolson has said it. Like, there's no more world where you can just be like a basketball school, right? Like, you have to win at football. You have to invest. You have to win. So, I think if Clark Lee is comfortable like that, he's going to continue to get what he needs. I think it's going to be really, really hard to get him out of here. And I like people throwing, like, good jobs that obviously you've thought of in the past have had way more success than Vanderbilt. Doesn't matter. Who cares? He's having success. He's set up for success. So as long as he feels like that's the case, all those factors you mentioned, Robbie, absolutely matter. One of the jobs that I think would have to be interesting if it were to ever open, Marcus Freeman, there are some people who were like, well, is he going to get an NFL shot? Would he like to do that? Yeah. And I don't know that there's the only college job that I could see him, he played at Ohio State. So like if Ryan Day were to leave and then you have the domino.
Talking about Freeman,
I'm talking about Marcus Freeman. You know, then Notre Dame. Clark Lee has history at Notre Dame. Obviously, Notre Dame is Notre Dame. You know, so would that be a job that could get him out of here? I mean, I would have to say maybe, but I'm not even like it's to me. It's not a slam dunk. I mean, look, all due respect to Indiana and South Bend, but if you've ever been around South Bend, Indiana, like it's Notre Dame and the, like just miles and miles of nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little different than living here. So, like, I just, other than that, or like a top, like Ohio State, like one of these jobs where it's like Texas, you know, like you can't turn it down. It's like you still should have more advantages. Like you'll never run out of money. I don't know. These people throwing like whatever, Florida or whatever. I think he's good here. I do.
Well,
and there's something to be said too, Robbie, there's something to be said for. And you change expectations if you win enough. But there's something to be said for you can win 7-8 games and people are very happy with you, as opposed to go to Florida if you're not a title contender in 2 years, if you're Dan Mullen, you get run out of town.
Now there's also this, and I we've been asked this before, and Dave and Ben have both just asked it on the text line. So does Clark Lee look for a new job now, knowing that Pavi is not going to be back next year, and you strike while the iron is hot? Yeah, Ben says, I might take my pay raise and leave before Pavia leaves, before they have a downturn. Now, I'm sure if you ask Clark Lee that he doesn't believe like some big downturn's coming, like they're recruiting at a good level and they're bringing in people in NIL, and you know, obviously Diego Pavia is going to be very difficult to replace when that time comes, but they're going to try to, right? Like whether it's via the portal, via recruiting that they've got coming in, they're going to try to do it. But what do you make of that? Like, does the Pavia factor into this at all for Clark Lee?
Yeah, I get it. And look, obviously next year, all the talk is you'd be like, okay, now let's see Vanderbilt do it without Pavia, not just his play, but also he has brought a different attitude, from within the locker room. You know, that's a lot to replace, but as great as Pavia is, remember, let's also he might be what, a 6th-7th round pick, maybe, right? I mean, like, he's tremendous in their offense. He's a fantastic personality, but it's not like we're talking about Peyton Manning, or something like that either, right? I think that they can find other quarterbacks around that offense, and I think they have a lot of other things going for them. So if Clark Lee was actively looking to get out, then I would hear that and be like, yeah, this is strike while the iron's hot. Looking to strike while the iron's hot. I think he's trying to do things at Vanderbilt that have never been done before, which he's in the process of doing.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts coming up next. We'll take rapid fire college football, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, your Titans thoughts, all coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. A lot of college football talk today, Joe. It's been nice to talk about teams that win. It's been nice.
It is, right?
Nice change of pace.
It is. Like, there's some really good football being played in the state, city, state, and region.
There is. Not occupied by one specific team in the city, state, and region.
But right.
Others doing a fine job out there. One Thank Vanderbilt goodness. Fan says, I think it's Double Door in Memphis, says, I'm as worried about losing Jerry Kill and Tim Beck as I am about losing Clark Lee, which I understand.
What about Pavia? I was just asking Jake Lyman back here, can the offense for Vanderbilt continue next season without Pavia? How much of a step back
is that
going
to
be?
Yeah, can you get close to the same level?
Yeah, I think that you can find, talent that can fit that offense. And yeah, they have Mitchell's a big, I think, they're going to have talent there, but yeah, like I think Pavia beyond that is like, he brings like the, people make fun of like the national title or, we'll kick Alabama's butt and all that stuff. But like, I mean, he is a leader of that locker room. That's, I think, almost bigger loss than, like, the player. Not that he's not a great player. Not that they'll definitely have a quarterback and just step in and do those things. But I think you can find quarterbacks in that offense who can operate it and be dual threats and execute and even have more arm talent than he has. You know, it's the, I think the intangibles are really hard to replace. And I agree, you know, Jerry Kill's going to retire pretty soon. Like, he has helped this transition, and he's helped Clark Lee as a mentor, but it's not Jerry Kill, it's Tim Beck. Tim Beck, he's the OC, this is his offense. And yeah, I got to think that someone's going to try to poach him pretty soon, yep. Right? I mean, I love what they do. It's so creative, and they have a lot of different – they don't have – yeah, they got a tight end who might go in the first round, but they got two tight ends who are weapons. They got multiple backs who are weapons. They got multiple receivers who make big plays. And they've now that they've made investment and really upgraded the offensive line, it's a wagon. And I think Tim Beck is definitely someone who is going to be on some lists here moving forward.
You'll get Arch in the portal this offseason? Bring in Arch? Run that offense?
Ooh. Mm-mm. He can probably run, not. Man. I mean, he's way better at running than throwing. I'll tell you that much.
What about old Nico? Bring Nico.
Yeah,
here.
That'd be something. Tennessee fans really react well to that.
Boy, Nico actually would be good in this offense. That's a lot of. I mean, that's the thing. Like, they've got people in the pipeline, but you never know. Like, I mean, Cignetti's out there now. Every year, gonna be like, okay, who can I get? Who's like an NFL prospect? Who, you know, well, who can come right in here and run my offense?
Like,
Vanderbilt could be in the same boat.
In all seriousness, like, I know that Vanderbilt has some quarterback commits that they're excited about, and I still think, like, long term, if you're asking me what I would rather do if I'm a college coach, I'd rather have, like, for Tennessee, right? Like, Tennessee, Aguilar going to graduate this year. He'll be done. And your quarterback room, your competition next year for the Vols is probably going to be Faison Brandon, who's a true freshman, and George McIntyre, who will be a redshirt freshman, right? Like, that's probably what your quarterback room is next year. Merklinger, I would assume, is going to transfer, and that's probably what you're looking at for your starting quarterback competition. Which I know Tennessee fans will look at and they'll say, okay, George McIntyre, pretty good recruit. Faison Brandon, number one recruit in America, depending on where you look. So that's great. We'll take it. But is that the way in today's landscape of college football? Is that the way every coach is going to want to operate? I say no. What about Clark Lee? Like, is Clark Lee going to look at it and say, well, we feel good about the quarterbacks we've got in our system? Or are you basically just going to go, like, quarterback shopping every year? Which I think you will see some programs do, where you're like, what's the best quarterback we can land via NIL on the portal out there? Let's go do that.
Yeah. Well, you do see it. Now, Alabama's a great example of, here you go, took a few years, and yep, this kid's ready, and he's awesome. I do think with Vanderbilt, there's something to be said for, like, it's a little harder, maybe. Now, I said that about Tennessee's offense, and Aguilar came right in, and he's doing great, but maybe a little bit better to have someone who's been on campus running this offense as opposed to just plugging someone into it. But at the same time, if you have a great talent, then you know, and someone whose skill set seems to fit it, then I think you do it. So I think in some programs, it's like, okay, while the young quarterback develops, let's go get a starter this year. And then, you know, and then eventually the young quarterback will be ready. But the thing there is like, okay, well, does the young quarterback get restless and start looking around? I mean, that's the challenge of the whole thing. Dennis asked, the best comp for Pavia, Doug Flutie. It's so funny Dennis brought that up, because I was talking to NFL personnel guy at the Vanderbilt game, and I mentioned Doug Flutie. And, you know, the difference is it definitely size-wise running around. Flutie had a cannon. Like, Flutie had better arm talent than Pavia. Not that Pavia can't throw the ball, but, you know, I mean, I think that's going to be a thing that limits him despite all the other things that people love about him. Doesn't quite have that same, but definitely there's something to that. I mean, Flutie was this little guy running around, and he actually, you know, people who remember him with the Bears and stuff, he actually had some stretches in the NFL where he was a problem for people, even though a lot of people thought he would never sniff, starting in the NFL.
I mean, he was on that Bills team for the Music City Miracle, wasn't he?
Is that right? Was he Rob Johnson's backup?
I think
I guess that is right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in the league forever. I I could totally see Pavia. Pavia's a dude people are going to want on their like in their locker room, you know? Like, he'll be in the league for a long time. It's like, is he a – this is what was said to me. Is he a two that people look at as like he could be a starter at some point, or is he more like a 2-3 who kind of bounces around? And it may be more of that, but he's going to be in the league. And yeah. I bet you he'll get on the field at some point, and he'll probably do some awesome stuff too, by the way.
Yeah, we'll see. Otis on YouTube asking if we've discussed the Lockett situation. We did. Tyler Lockett, done with the Tennessee Titans. 10 catches.
I mean, I forgot he was on the team.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not going to go crazy with a guy who was basically zero factor in the offense. So, yes, we did bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot. But Lockett is gone. The interesting part now is, like, who is going to – particularly, like, if Ridley doesn't get healthy this week, who in the world is going to be out there catching passes for the Titans on a consistent basis against the Colts? And, you know, you can take that conversation, and I'm sure we will, over the next couple of weeks and move it forward here about trade deadline. You know, what do you do with Ridley at that point? And if you do move on from him, what's your receiving core going to be like for your quarterback the rest of the year?
Yeah, exactly. That's the big thing. If you feel like these young guys, maybe they'll throw a little Restrepo in there, you know, can hold down the fort, and you can get a good return. The problem, one thing that's tough is like when you've had such a non-season as Ridley's had, aren't other teams out there wondering, like, do we want to give anything for this guy?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of interest.
If he was having a ton of production, it'd be one thing, but I think if you're just getting a middling return, then I think you just stick with him and let him play with the rookie, you know, and hope that helps the rookie move the ball. Simmons, Titans, by the way, we can get into this a lot more tomorrow, but Titans are telling people, no way, don't even bother asking. But I still wonder if someone calls and gives them an offer that they have to think about.
That's going to do it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.